voice of the left is being restricted heavily because the yardstick of political dissent has now been criminalized here. Now, federal courts in the U.S., they've already struck down some of these as unconstitutional, compelled speech and viewpoint discrimination. Whether you get the more extreme proposals like bills, like you mentioned, seeking to expel all Palestinians from the U.S. or to brand virtually any Palestinian organization as a terrorist, you're not just in unconstitutional territory, you're in openly racist and collective punishment territory. Mm. And the world is seeing that. So that violates basic equal protection principles, international human rights laws, and any notion of fairness or due process. So to answer your question directly, none of this is legally valid in spirit. It's clearly discriminatory, it's punitive, and it's transparently designed to make Palestinians and their supporters so afraid of consequences that they simply stop speaking. So that's not law, that's repression dressed up in legal language. And let's not forget that this is not new for the U.S. empire. The U.S. empire has consistently used legal verbiage, has used the formation of law to target heroes from the Black Liberation Army, from the Black Panther Party, from the La Raga Unida Party. These are strategies and tactics that the empire has been using ever since its formation. So this is what you would expect from a falling empire. It's desperate, and these are acts of desperation. The world is seeing, but clearly still remains silent.
And very well articulated. Thank you there, Mohsin. And another article, Charlotte, I want to put to you, I came across on the crackdown in the UK. It says, quote, "This clampdown has assumed a variety of forms, including narrative delegitimation, evident through statements made by politicians, amplified by complicit UK media, referring to Palestine solidarity gatherings in derogatory terms, and by stigmatizing solidarity protests as hate marches. Accusations and allegations of anti-Semitism help foster a sense of moral panic around this form of solidarity work." Now, Charlotte, this is not systemic or systematic censorship at its finest. What is it?
Well, that's absolutely what they're aiming to achieve. I mean, earlier in the program, we're talking about Britain here, but it's the same policy that's being used in Germany, in France, in Britain, in the United States as well. It's the same exact policy that's being pursued. There was a video of basically Berlin police tearing down the posters of Palestinian women political prisoners from a truck that was leading a demonstration against violence against women, highlighting the ongoing Zionist imperialist atrocities committed against Palestinian women in Gaza and throughout occupied Palestine just yesterday in Berlin. And the Berlin police were out there holding the demonstration up for an hour, climbing on the truck to tear down every image of an imprisoned Palestinian woman, struggling to take down that last picture of Tasnim al-Hams, the Palestinian nurse who's being imprisoned from Gaza after being abducted just weeks before the ceasefire agreement, in order to pressure her father, who's also a health worker, to seek to provide information and to undermine the Palestinian health system even further in Gaza. You know, that the images even of imprisoned Palestinians may not be seen by the public. In Britain, hundreds of people have been arrested for doing nothing more than carrying a sign that says, "I support Palestine action, I oppose genocide." Mm. The attempt is to impose absolute terror and fear in the population so that people will be too afraid and will engage in self-censorship in order to not speak out, to not be arrested, to not be subjected to detention and deportation orders and political bans. And it's actually quite striking how much these measures have failed so far in actually suppressing the movement, not just against the current escalated genocide, but for the liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea. That there's a much larger percentage of the population, particularly in the heart of the imperial court, particularly in the Western countries, that today recognize the Zionist entity for what it is and stand firmly with the Palestinian people and with their resistance. And no matter how many times they try to arrest people for saying Palestinians have the right to resist, they're not able to erase the fundamental fact that Palestinians do have the right to resist and to free their land.
Thank you both. Time's gotten the better. It was a pleasure having you both on. It was an awesome program. Thank you. Charlie Cates out of Beirut, Lebanon there, and Mr. Mohsen Naqvi joining us at the U.S. State of Texas. Stay safe to both of you. And this brings us to the conclusion of this segment of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and bye-bye for now.
Chased by wolves, followed by a hawk, on the battlefield you took your final walk. It took my breath when you said goodbye, but then again, heroes never die. Your final words were stay the course. Trust in God, the everlasting source. Don't give in to the enemy's plots. Resist with faith. Go against the odds. Your way I follow. Oh, my hero. Unbreakable soul. Unstoppable power. Until the last breath you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice. Make you the hero we'll remember forever. Your blood was spilled, but it nourished my roots. I then became a tree with many fruits. The fruits are love, courage, and resolve. You've made me a soldier, so you I salute. Your way I follow, oh my hero. Unbreakable soul, unstoppable power, until the last breath you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice, make you the hero we'll remember forever. A hero.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Glad you could join us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. We'll start off this hour's programs with Q&A on Islamic beliefs. This program provides answers to listeners' questions about Islamic beliefs. This program provides answers to listeners' questions about Islamic beliefs. After that, we have our radio productions feature. Like Muhammad will follow the next. The program focuses on the character and lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. And our final program this hour is The Last Savior. The program discusses the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi, the Imam of the Age, the promised Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, about his life, his government, and our duty. Stay with us for the next hour.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. You might find it Q&A on Islamic Beliefs in our website, iranradio.ir. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Intercession or Shafa is a core belief in Islam and refers to the act of an appointed figure, like a prophet or an imam, pleading to Allah on behalf of a sinner on the Day of Judgment. This is a definition of Shafa, Sheikh Karimi. But now the major question is that, is there any sin that is excluded from the Shafa of Prophet Allah or imams or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So before answering this question, we need to know about this concept and those people who are going to intercede and those people who are going to be interceded, so we can come to the answer to this question. First of all, as you rightly mentioned, this is an Islamic notion, an Islamic concept. Again, some people have tried, some Wahhabis, to attribute it only to the Shia school of thought, but this is not the point. When we refer to the verses of the Quran, the conclusion of the verses is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this right of intercession to some people that He is pleased with. Although, I mean, we agree that in some verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, for example, لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Shafa'ah, intercession, belongs to Allah only. But it doesn't negate other verses of the Quran, in which, for example, chapter Maryam, verse 87, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ الشَّفَاعَةَ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ عَهْدًا. None will have the power of intercession except he who had taken from the Most Merciful a covenant. So, as I mentioned, other verses of the Quran refer to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this right of intercession to some people.
Right.
Especially the Prophet, as mentioned in the Quran, that وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ. Allah is commanding the Prophet to do the tahajjud, night vigil. عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. So Allah may give you a praiseworthy status. According to many narrations, both in Shia and Sunni narrations, this maqam mahmud, praise position of the Prophet, is referring to the fact that he has the right to intercede. So according to all Muslim scholars, both Shia and Sunni, the Prophet is one of the people who will intercede. And we have the narrations about the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, who will intercede.
That's right.
Some arguing with verse 26 of chapter Najm believe that the angels will also intercede. According to a narration in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali says that Quran is going to intercede.
Yes.
We have the prophets, martyrs, believers, memorizers of the Quran, even righteous neighbors for their neighbors. Tawbah, these are among the people and things that they can intercede. Now, who is going to be interceded for? Is it for all the sins, as the question mentioned? Some verses in the Quran, like chapter Ghafir, verse 18, is referring to the fact that, first of all, the polytheists, the disbelievers, and zalimin, the oppressors, are not going to be interceded on the Day of Judgment.
Okay.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيحٍ يُطَعَ. If you are a zalim, an oppressor, and of course, mushrikeen, kafirin, polytheists, idolaters, disbelievers are among the people who have wronged themselves, and then there is no shafi'a, there is no intercessor for them on the Day of Judgment. So this can be considered as one of the sins for which there is no intercession. Zulm, oppressing other people.
Right.
So as believers, we need to be very much careful.
Because it is not in their hands.
That's the point.
I mean, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot intercede in the oppression that was done to the people.
Exactly.
Because that's haqqun nas, you know?
Sure.
The rights of the people, that's right.
And we have some narrations in our collections of hadith that those people who take the prayer lightly, then they are not going to be interceded. There is no shafa'a for them. And taking the prayer lightly is not only abandoning the prayer. It can be, I mean, delaying the prayer, sometimes ada, sometimes qaza. I mean, taking the prayer lightly, unfortunately, when it comes morning prayer, many people may take it lightly. So as a warning point, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that, لا ينال شفاعتنا من استخف بصلاته. If you take the salat lightly, then there is no intercession for you. Some other Shia narrations refer to the fact that the Nasibis, those people who hate the Ahlul Bayt, who curse the Ahlul Bayt, who are the enemies to the Ahlul Bayt, there is no intercession for them. An oppressive king, those people who are considered ghulat, exaggerators, they are not going to be interceded. So these are some points mentioned in the narrations regarding the concept of intercession. I believe that, I mean, we cannot say, for example, this is not for sure that every person can be sure that, okay, all my sins will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through intercession. This is not the case. Although the Prophet says, اَدَّخَرْتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ or, I mean, الشَّفَاعَةَ لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي, the intercession is for the people who commit major sins against among my nation. But it's not giving a blank check to all Muslims that, okay, commit any sin that you want and then you will be interceded on the Day of Judgment.
Definitely.
Shafa'a for you. No. That is why we have the concept of khawf and raja. We need to be fearful of Allah and at the same time we need to be hopeful. We need to be hopeful of the concept of intercession, but there is no guarantee that all my sins are going to be forgiven through intercession or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. No, we need to be careful about what we do.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
How many times, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet and Imams can intercede for your faults or for your errors, you know? A true repentance and true tawbah, as you said also, that's work, Shaykh, isn't
it? Sure. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I believe that, I mean, people talk about the philosophy of shafa'a and the wisdom behind this concept. So, some Wahhabis, they say that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive everything, every sin. Why you are giving this right of intercession to people like prophets, Prophet Muhammad and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? The answer to this question is that there are, I mean, two or three answers that can be given to this question of the philosophy and the wisdom for Shafa'a.
Okay.
First of all, it is against the concept of disappointment or yes.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, I mean, people transgress all the laws, religious laws, and they go to extreme in committing all kinds of sins.
That's right.
And they think, for some people, that there is no way to get rid of that. And, I mean, they may come to this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive me. So the concept of Shafa'a for some people is there to give them a kind of hope that on the Day of Judgment, I mean, some of your sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you might be given this chance of Shafa'a by the Prophet, by the Imams,
that's right,
so that you may go to the Paradise. So this is giving hope for the disappointed people.
That's right.
Second of all, Shafa'a needs some conditions. As I mentioned, intercession is not going to happen for all the people without any criteria. No, there are some criteria. As the verse mentioned, there must be a kind of a covenant between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not a blank check.
All right.
We need to prepare ourselves so that we meet the condition criteria for Shafa'a. And the third point, which is also of great importance, is that the concept of Shafa'a is mentioned in the Quran and the verses so that people be heedful regarding the people who are going to intercede.
That's right.
So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't forgive every sin. But he's telling the people that your prophet can intercede,
all right,
your imams can intercede, so that people come to realize that in this life, they have great people like the Prophet, like the Imams, like Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha, who have such a great position that they can intercede. So they take them as their role model, as their role model in this life.
And it's not, at the end of the day, it's not a game. It's not a show.
Not at all.
In fact, intercession is not acting this way. Okay, let's do all the sins. At the end of the day, Hussein ibn Ali will be our Shafi, for example, in the other world. This is not the case.
This is a wrong understanding.
Wrong understanding of the concept of Shafa'a. And can we select an ordinary person as a Shafi for us? Can we do so? For example, I don't know, maybe a father, mother, grandfather, a holy man, an alim or something?
We are not going to take any person. As I mentioned, according to some narration, some people have such a great position on the Day of Judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with giving this, with giving them this right to intercede for others. So the main people in this category are the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. But as I mentioned, we have some narrations about the martyrs, about even a good neighbor, a righteous neighbor, he or she may intercede for their neighbors. So what we can be sure of, as the narrations say, is about the prophets and the imams and the shuhada. As for other righteous people, we cannot say that it will happen for sure. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless some people with giving this, giving them this right to intercede for others, so that Allah is showing to the people the great status and position of these people.
Okay, that's it. Take care a lot about the rights of the people, the rights of your neighbor, colleagues, friends, children, parents, spouse, you know, the people around. Because, you know, compensating and making up for the oppression that you do to the people around is really, really difficult.
If not impossible.
If not impossible, that's right. Thank you much, Sheikh Karimi. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of the program, and Sheikh Karimi. For more information and also to download for free our other episodes, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran Inna fil jannati nahran لبني علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين
حسيني وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Have you ever wished you were able to check your blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen level, weight, and your overall health all within minutes without the need of making a doctor's appointment, waiting in line, or spending hours in a clinic? Well, the good news is that in Iran, South Khorasan province, there's a local company that has made a device that does exactly that, a health monitoring kiosk. Designed to be installed in cities, offices, gyms, and even residential towers. Its goal, to help make health monitoring quick, simple, and accessible for everyone. So stay with us as we take a closer look.
The idea of remote health monitoring isn't new. It has been evolving for years across the world. Known internationally as remote patient monitoring or RPM, in countries like the United States, Canada, Germany, Sweden, South Korea, and Australia, digital technology has made it possible for patients to track their health data without ever stepping into a hospital. Smart devices like fitness bands, digital blood pressure monitors, or public health stations record vital signs such as blood sugar and heart rate. In more advanced systems, data is sent directly to doctors through secure software or mobile apps. Some countries even use artificial intelligence to process this information. Algorithms that can detect irregularities and alert patients or physicians instantly. And in many cases, a patient can consult with a doctor online, through video or chat, and even receive a prescription. In countries like Australia, where long distances separate people from medical centers, remote health monitoring has become essential. In Iran, interest in this field grew significantly after the COVID-19 pandemic. Among the pioneers is a company called Doramit. Founded in 2019 at the height of the crisis.
South Khorasan province, due to its vast area and small population, is one of the least densely populated provinces in the country. This is because access to health services and medical care, especially in remote areas of the province, to be challenging. In this regard, one of the solutions that my team and I, as a specialized biomedical engineering team, came up with was to develop a kiosk that could be deployed in various remote locations across South Khorasan province. This kiosk would help collect medical data and process it using artificial intelligence, thereby addressing the shortage of doctors in the province. Thankfully, by installing these kiosks throughout the province, we have helped promote equity in the healthcare sector.
The company's first products entered the market in 2022. The actual health kiosk, How it works is that the patient stands in front of the device and the operator, while maintaining privacy and security issues, checks for the vital signs and the general health status of the patient. It's also possible to have a video consultation with a physician, which is connected online, and which would actually review the results. Also, you can receive a digital prescription from the physician. Obviously, this becomes very important in rural and small towns where the doctors aren't always available. To have a more detailed explanation about the function and the application of the device, let's see what Dr. Goru has to say.
The health monitoring kiosk, armed, has the capability to collect patient data using wearable medical gadgets. Afterwards, through a design platform within the armed system, it can analyze the medical data using artificial intelligence. For example, regarding blood pressure, the system determines which range the individual's blood pressure falls into and whether they're at risk due to their blood pressure levels. It also displays a chart of the individual's blood pressure fluctuations over weekly, monthly, and yearly time periods. Regarding ECG, the individual can view all previous ECGs taken by the system and review the reports generated by the AI, which provide a complete overview of their health data. This helps the individual actually enhance their health level. Finally, the specialized AI in this system recommends a comprehensive dietary plan and an exercise program to improve the individual's health, which can help elevate the overall health level of the visitor.
This company is currently the only producer of health monitoring kiosks in Iran, a patented design with no identical model, either locally or internationally. But why build such a system? The answer lies in modern life itself. Air pollution, poor diet, and the growing number of people living with chronic conditions like diabetes, hypertension, heart failure, and respiratory disease have made quick and regular health checks a necessity. Remote monitoring can reduce unnecessary hospital visits, lower healthcare costs, and improve patients' quality of life by detecting issues before they become emergencies. And for people in remote areas where access to medical care can be limited, this technology can make a world of difference.
Our company's annual production capacity for the kiosks ranges from 500 to 1,000 units per year. Of course, these devices are customized for clients based on the specific applications of the kiosk, whether in the health, medical, or sports sectors, and are tailored to their deployment location. The system is customized to ensure it is functionally suitable for the specific purpose and location where it is installed. One important point is that we must drive the research and development for this product in a way that aligns with customer needs. It's fair to say that since the beginning of this product's production, we have introduced 14 new versions, both in hardware and software, which have been based on advancements in artificial intelligence.
The company's production team consists of 18 people, supported by 12 others in marketing and logistics, alongside 20 other individuals in the company's medical division. Each kiosk is made up of two main parts: the hardware, which is the metal structure and medical sensors, and the software, which uses artificial intelligence to analyze and interpret the collected data. At the final stage, each device undergoes a one-month quality control process before being packaged for installation.
One of the most important advantages of the health monitoring kiosks produced by our company is that they enable the creation of IT systems or electronic health records in the form of a health file for each user. Certainly, deploying these kiosks in more public environments and within organizations helps create larger data sets and bigger data collections, which ultimately enhances the quality of artificial intelligence and AI-based diagnostics. To develop more comprehensive systems for the AI and health sectors in the future, we need to have stronger and larger data centers, the deployment and eventual expansion of our kiosks across the country will undoubtedly contribute to building larger data centers for the advancement of artificial intelligence in the healthcare sector.
Today, 38 kiosks are active across the country and are installed in places such as oil platforms, government offices, and municipalities, serving hundreds of people every single day.
One of the most important points in the field of telemedicine is that the implementation of telemedicine-based systems reduces healthcare costs. This happens because there's no need to establish hospitals in remote areas to provide medical services. By using telemedicine kiosks, data can be collected, transmitted, and processed, helping us overcome the challenge of not having physicians available in those regions. However, when it comes to foreign models and related technologies, one of the major issues in the field of modern medical technologies is that many of these devices are imported and may impose very high costs on the healthcare system. By localizing these devices in our country, we have developed a system that provides all the required services at nearly one-tenth the cost of foreign models, while offering even greater capabilities. This truly eliminates the need to import similar farm products. The complete design of these devices has been carried out within our company, and the research and development efforts have helped us achieve a reliable system for telehealth. This has made us self-sufficient and removed the need to import expensive foreign alternatives.
These health kiosks are more than just machines. They're a bridge between people and healthcare. Step-by-step innovations like this are shaping a healthier, more connected, and more equitable future. This brings us to the end of this section. Thank you from the whole team. Hope to see you next time. Take care.
Thank you. Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Listeners of RIB English Radio, this is the show Like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. I'm your host, Muhammad. In this show, we talk about everything that is related to our dear and noble Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, in the verses of the Quran, in the narrations, in the Sunnah and Sirah of the Prophet. Today, I'd like to recite a few verses that are directly related to our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was a trustworthy person in that he would keep the trust of Allah, the verses of the Quran, and he would convey them to the people exactly the same way that Allah had told him to. So even before he became a prophet and a messenger, he was known as As-Sadiqul Amin among the people, an honest and trustworthy person. And when people heard him recite the Quran, and they were like, this person can't lie. This person always spoke the truth. And what he's saying right now doesn't seem to be like something that humans would say. So when he says that these verses are from Allah and they're the words of the verses of the Quran, a lot of people, they believed in the Prophet immediately because it was a miracle. The Quran was a miracle upon hearing the verses of the Quran. Even the most, those who held a grudge against the Prophet and were very reluctant to accept Islam, even they would say that what Prophet Muhammad is saying is not something natural. They would say it's magic. Okay, that's how eloquent and how otherworldly and divine the verses of the Quran were. So Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبُصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبُصِرُونَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Allah says, so I swear by what you see and what you do not see, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ, that indeed the Quran is the word of a noble messenger. It's not the word of a human being. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ, and it is not the word of a poet. Little do you believe. So the Quran is not poetry. وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, nor the word of a soothsayer. Little do you remember. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, it is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. Now, pay attention. Let's take a break before I read the rest of the verses of this surah. And we will talk about how the Prophet was a trustee of Allah.
Is to be with you.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa, ala Habibika Nabika Mustafa. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa,
Mustafa.
Oh,
Welcome back, listeners of RIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Like Muhammad. We were talking about how the Quran is the revelation of Allah that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. This is Surah Al-Haqqah, verse 43. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ. And if Muhammad had made up about us some false sayings, لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ, we would have seized him by the right hand. ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ, then we would have cut from him the aorta. That means the vein that's in the heart that is very crucial. And if that vein is cut, a person would definitely die. فَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ. And there is none of you who could prevent us from him. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And indeed, the Quran is a reminder for the righteous. Okay, so the verse clearly says that if Prophet Muhammad was not reliable and was not trustworthy, and if he were to say something else other than what Allah had said in terms of the verses of the Quran, as in he would say certain things, he would attribute them to Allah and say that these are the verses of the Quran, whereas they actually weren't the verses of the Quran. Allah says that he would seize Prophet Muhammad. But why does not this happen? Was Prophet Muhammad forced to be a very trustworthy person and a prophet that Allah would trust? No. Prophet Muhammad himself, of his own free will, was a trustworthy person who would keep the trust of Allah, and he would deliver the words of Allah to the people intact. Okay? The verse is saying, if such a thing happened, which will never happen, because Allah has chosen the best person to reveal his verses to. Okay? So Allah is trying to prove to us that what we hear, what we read of the Quran is definitely from him, is from Allah. It's not from the Prophet himself even. It's not from someone else. Okay? So this Quran is the word of Allah. It is revealed. It's the words of Allah verbatim. It's exactly the words of Allah. Not even one letter is changed from the word of Allah. Like, this is exactly what Allah has said. That is why they say that when we recite the Quran, it's like we're listening to the Quran. It's like Allah is speaking to us. Okay. So this proves, these verses prove that Prophet Muhammad was, first of all, very trustworthy, that Allah chose him as his prophet, and that he would never say anything that would go against Allah's will. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to this episode of Like Muhammad. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, I leave you in the care and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, feel like Muhammad. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and feel like Muhammad. Rasulullah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Almighty Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm your host, Zainab. And we have our special guest, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Alavi is a scholar in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom and has expertise in the field of Mahdawiyyah. We have heard one thing a lot, and that is when Imam is going to introduce himself officially, many people will be saying like, oh, we knew him earlier. So why does that happen? Like, why would people say like that?
Yeah, this is a very good and important question. Let's hope that, inshallah, we are living at the time of the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and his advent and his reappearance is going to be so close. Let's at least we can imagine it, right?
Yes, inshallah.
And we can pray for that, inshallah. So I want to say that, how is it going to happen? I mean, what is going to happen that people say right after the announcement of Imam alayhi salam that he introduces himself, some people say that, oh, we have already known this person.
Yeah,
we have seen him already.
Yeah.
And we know him. I mean, it means that this person might have been, for example, in front of the people, maybe, I mean, or known by a majority.
Yeah.
Let's say something like this. Or so is it documented in Islamic hadith and narrations? Yes. In some of the valid Shia resources and texts, we have that Imam existing among people, among the believers. And though people do not know him, I mean, they don't know that this is Imam Zaman, but at least they might know him under some other name. That's why, for example, for those who know Imam alayhi salam, it is being said, or it is being recommended, that do not name him, because he has been cursed, anyone who actually names Imam alayhi salam, because he's disclosing the secrets of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. For those who know, because anyone who knows actually, then automatically his mouth should be closed.
Yeah.
Right? But I want to say that for those who know that, okay, but majority do not know him. So is it possible that Imam is among the people and people do not know? Definitely possible. It happened even for earlier prophets and even...
So this has had roots in history.
Definitely. In Imam Quranic evidences. Look, the time that Yusuf alayhi salam, the prophet Joseph, was living in his
among the people. Yeah.
While even he was a slave.
Yeah.
In the palace of Zuleika.
Yeah. Before he officially recognizes or everyone introduces
knew,
himself.
Everyone knew Yusuf.
Right.
Right. So even the people of Egypt, they knew Yusuf. That right. this person is a wise person.
Right.
And they know him for good. I mean, they know him of good attributes.
Right.
But when he announces prophethood, so something changed. Oh, people know him from now on. The people believe that he is the prophet of Allah.
Right.
But he was among them. Look, another case. Musa alayhi salam. Musa was living with Pharaoh, right? In his own palace.
Yeah.
But did anyone know that he is the prophet? That the upcoming prophet?
No.
While even he left that palace and went to Tur and Sinai, and then he came back after a while, very few people, the companions of Musa, know him that, I mean, he's a sort of holy existence.
Mm-hmm.
They know him under, for example, a pious person.
Right.
But when he announces prophecy and prophethood, so everything changed, right?
Yes. We're going to continue with you after a short break, dear listeners. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
مهدينا في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتدأه من أجل السالكين أهدأ
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Elas Xavier. I'm with Dr. Ali Alavi. And we are discussing the question that when people see Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, they will be like, we kind of know him. So why will this happen? So you said that general advent is possible before the official advent of Imam. And it's because of this. And it's not something that's very new. It has happened in the course of history. You gave the examples of Prophet Yusuf. You gave the examples of Prophet other prophets, like you said.
Prophet Musa.
Yeah, Prophet Musa. You said that they were also among the people, but they did not officially introduce themselves before introducing their prophethood. So, yeah, we would like to know
more. So the same way Imam Mahdi alayhi salam lives among the people.
Yeah.
Ordinary life. But later on, he will officially introduce himself. Like, for example, Yusuf. When did he start his, announcing his prophecy and prophethood? While he was in jail. And he officially said, from now on, I'm the prophet.
Okay.
So listen to me, I mean, and follow whatever I'm saying. So Imam Ali Salam is imam and among people, among Muslim communities. But no one knows him exactly for sure that this is the Imam.
Yeah.
Up until the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to introduce him, I mean, because this is something in Allah's order.
Yeah.
In a sort of divine call in a certain month of Ramadan. Later on, Imam alayhi salam once introduced himself when? Next to Kaaba. Based on a hadith, he introduces himself.
Right.
From this time, everyone actually is obliged to follow him. And actually, it's the time, like, for example, the time of, for example, Musa alayhi salam or Yusuf, when they introduce their prophecy. So Imam says, no, from this time, everyone should know that I am the Mahdi.
Right.
So I want to say that it is rooted, again, in Quranic teachings rather yeah. than the narrations, because we had the same thing for the early prophets as well. So being with people and living with people, this is something that we can find a lot in narrations and in hadith and in our Islamic texts and resources.
Yeah.
But it's not something quite strange and weird to say that, okay, Imam Ali Salam appeared and majority of people know him. No, it is quite understandable and quite accepted and can be digested very easily that, okay, Imam already was known by people and people, because already he had his public and general advent. And this kind of advent of Imam, which is a general advent,
mm-hmm.
there are some few people that are in touch with him and know him. So
okay.
Why here, I mean, in a tawqi' that has been sent to one of the deputies of Imam alayhi salam, Imam alayhi salam says that whoever introduces me by name to others,
yeah.
he's cursed. So, فَعَلِهِ اللَّعْنَةُ اللَّهِ, that is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse him. So this is due to the secret of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because
okay.
this secret should not be disclosed under the time that Allah knows best.
Okay.
So the timing is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam alayhi salam wants to tell us, to inform us, in case anyone who has been informed or actually took some news from the name of Imam Ali Salam.
Do
not
disclose
know
that.
Not to name Imam Ali Salam, not to appoint him, not to actually tell it to anyone. Till
right.
Imam Ali Salam comes officially and announces his message officially.
Right. We're going to discuss more with you after a short break, dear listeners. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. Mm-mm. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Japanese researcher who said that Shiism has two wings on which it's very strong. One is Ashura and one is Mahdawiyat. And all sorts of doubts and any sort of questions